This podcast is brought to you by Liquidware. Liquidware is the leader in adaptive workspace management solutions for Windows desktops. Their products cover all facets of management to ensure the ultimate user experience across all workspaces, physical, virtual, DAS, or cloud.
At the third stroke, it will be...
Well, hello and welcome to EUC Digest, your bi-weekly audio snack on everything EUC related. In today's show, we'll be talking about agile technologies and the power of community. But before we dive into that, allow us to introduce ourselves. My name is Erik van Klaveren, and I'm your host for this episode. And with me in the air is Jits Langendijk. Hi Jits, how was your flight this morning?
It was an early flight, but I'm doing super, wunderbar.
Wunderbar.
Ja, genau, das stimmt.
But we are not alone. We
no, definitely not.
Two guests. What did you find out about our guests?
Two very special guests. So one of them, well, we're here at Agile Disrupt, right? So Agile successfully, well, they transitioned from being this hardware-focused organization towards a software-defined organization. And one of our guests is actually in a transitioning phase from the U.S. to Germany as well. So, and he is.
You're saying he's actually want to be a German?
Yeah. I tried it once, but yeah. My wife, well, different story.
Different story.
But he is more or less Mr. EUC himself. And he can be considered as one of the founders of the EUC community. With the thin list and the methodology in a box and DABCC. But as you said, we have two guests today, right? So, and this one is not from the US nor from Germany, but from the UK, but he is not a famous guitar player nor a singer-songwriter. And he's certainly not the younger brother, or at least as far as I know, from the Who's guitarist, Pete Townsend. And now I more or less gave it away, but he can do a excellent moonwalk.
Oh, we definitely have to challenge him yeah, afterwards for that.
Later on. And one of the two guests, well, he talked about this British guest, and that he actually looked like Vogel McLaughlin in the movie Superbad. So
I don't know actually what that is. But let our guests introduce themselves? Because if they don't know who they are, please, guest number one.
My name is Doug Brown, or Douglas Brown. I've been doing the Citrix. I've been within the Citrix world for a long time. So I started with Citrix in the late 90s or mid to late 90s. I got very lucky to be introduced to that, you know, this idea of remoting. This is what's so exciting nowadays with WVD, because if you think about, you know, what we started so many years ago and what we believed was going to change the world, and now for Microsoft to be up there on, you know, these big, of their big stages talking about remoting, it's like, you know, it's a dream come true, right? I've been very lucky. I've had a fun career. I started off as a consultant. I went to go work for Citrix for a few years, and then worked for myself for many years with DABCC. And then I got just extremely, extremely lucky. For the past 3 years, I've been working for Agile. I started as a global technology evangelist, did a lot of sessions around the world. And then we brought in our second guest, who's able to start doing, he's much better speaker than I could ever be. So we put him on the road and allowed me to do what I really wanted to do within Agile, and that was to build a community. So today my job, or my title, is Vice President of Community. And then you did mention the thin list. I had nothing to do with the thin list. I was just a member of the thing. And Jim Kinzig is the man that built that. And for anyone that's, you know, in their late 40s, we all love and thank Jim Kinzig from the bottom of our hearts, because that's the only place you can get knowledge. There were no such, you know, thing as podcasts or videos or, I mean, there were one or two books. Jim was the guy that started it all.
Okay, awesome. And we have a second guest who is not a guitarist player.
I am not the guitar player. No, Simon Townsend. I am the CMO for Agile, otherwise known as McLoving, from Superbad, and very well known for attempting to do a moonwalk after I've had a few glasses of wine or a couple of beers.
Oh, this is actually true.
This is sadly very true. Yeah, we are just back from our Nashville Disrupt. And yet again, someone put a hat on me and I was seen to be trying to do some Michael Jackson moves to a country band. Yeah.
So, he's very good at it, too. Don't let him fool you. This guy's good.
We can put a link somewhere.
A link to a video. Yeah, we should put it up somewhere. Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see.
He's the English version of Michael Jackson for sure.
Wow. But before we go any further, we have to thank Gourami Beifair for sponsoring our studio microphones, as well as actually Disrupt 2020 in Munich, for having us and our guests on this event.
Yeah, thank you very much. Great to be here.
Simon, you didn't tell him what you do at IGEL, though. Please share that.
Wow.
CMO, he said.
Yeah. Did you say it?
Yeah. Okay. So ultimately, my responsibility now is for global marketing at IGEL. I've obviously worked closely with IGEL for probably 15 odd years. I got involved in Citrix back in the MetaFrame 1.8 days, so probably a little bit after yourself, Doug. I spent a lot of time deploying things like MetaFrame XPE back in the day when I was a techie. And then
that's actually when I started.
There you go. Right. And then I was at AppSense for about 15 years and had a number of technical roles, technical sales roles, product management, field CTO type roles. And so transitioning over into this role now and doing marketing, it makes perfect sense because it's all about, you know, taking technology and helping people understand what that technology brings to our partners and our customers.
And get it to a broader audience.
Exactly.
And get the word out. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, talking about broader audience, we're here at IGEL Disrupt. And, well, as far as I can tell, it's my second Disrupt, but getting a bigger audience is you're doing an excellent job in that. But can you tell our listeners a little bit more about the objective with Disrupt and why it's so successful?
Yeah, sure. If you go back many years, IGEL has always been focused on the channel. And once a year, like many other organizations, IGEL would have a company kickoff. And then they would send everybody home. And then about 2 weeks later, they'd get all of their distributors back to Germany. And they would sort of celebrate a year's success with all their distributors. But as the organization has transitioned into software and working closely with both its resellers and its customers. 3 years ago, they decided that they were going to start a end user conference. And so we kicked it off 3 years ago.
So this is actually the third one.
This is the third one now. Yeah. And we host one of them over here in EMEA. For the last 3 years, that's been in Germany, the last 2 years here in Munich. And we've also hosted them over in the US. And so, like I said before, we were in Nashville last week with about 570 people. We're here today with approximately about 580, 600 people
in
Munich.
That's actually a lot.
It's a lot amazing, of people.
Can I say this is one of the biggest EUC events in Europe?
I think since the fact that there is no Citrix Synergy anymore and
no SurfTech, no PTAC.
Correct. I think in terms of numbers of people and in terms of members of the community and EUC folks, yeah, I think we could probably put that stake in the ground.
Yeah, you bet. And it's not just the number of people, it's the quality of people too. If you know, walking around and, you know, we've all been in this industry a long time, the who's who is here. And that's a real testament to what IGEL's doing. Because
I walk into a lot of familiar faces over here. I
really
talk
amazing.
To a lot of people.
Really amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I think we've achieved where we wanted to get to, and we've now got an ambition to continue to grow it. But yeah, the main aim is, whilst it is hosted by IGEL, it's obviously now sponsored by a lot more, and it's attended by everyone in EUC. And, you know, make no mistake, this isn't meant to be an advertisement for IGEL. This is meant to be an EUC event, and we're just very proud to be the organization that started it 3 years ago. But I mean, if you look out there today, I mean, there's 27 sponsors and you've got Citrix, Microsoft, VMware and Amazon all under the same roof, all doing breakout sessions as well as all the members of the community. So yeah, we're very happy. We're very happy.
Sorry.
No, I fully agree, and it's especially the vibe that's in the different rooms and the communication or the questions that you get. It's not like a conference with just one of the OEMs, for example, or in this case, IGEL, that's pushing their message, but it's bringing people together, and so it's a very good atmosphere, and I certainly enjoy it. Really much. Yeah.
No, it's good. And, I'll say it now, but, you know, obviously a massive thanks to every single person that submitted their papers and applied to do a session. I mean, it was overwhelming the number of people we had, and we've got all types of sessions going on. I think there's 5 or 6 tracks, depending on what time of the day it is, that are concurrently running, and whole host of sessions today and a load more tomorrow. So really good. Yeah.
And a huge shout out to you, Simon, and your team. I mean, you guys have put together an amazing conference. It's not just a lot of great people, but it's very well done. Everything from the band that starts at 9 o'clock in the morning playing, you know, hardcore rock and roll and waking everybody up. It's as professional as I've seen. Really, really brilliant.
I like to get waken up by a rock and roll band.
It's a good way to start the day.
Yeah.
It's definitely a surprise.
A coffee and a rock and roll band will do it for me.
I think they started with Whole Lot of Love from Led Zeppelin, right? And all of a sudden, boom, and we're all, wait, we're awake.
Yeah, that's the right thing to start your day. No, but it actually, like Jitz already mentioned, it feels much more than only an IGEL vendor event. It feels like a real community event. And that's actually where you also come in. Cause I think that's your part, within IGEL.
Yeah, you're correct. I joined IGEL 3 years ago, and it was sort of an interesting story how I joined, and I've told this story a lot, so maybe some of your listeners have heard it, but I was actually doing a podcast with Jed Ayers. And as you know, being podcasters, sometimes the podcast gods don't work, and you end up with some static or equipment failures or what have you, and that's what happened. So Jed said, hey, give me a call, and I'll tell you the backstory. Long story short, 3 weeks later, I'm employed at IGEL. It was a complete fluke, but the biggest blessing I've ever been given. And when I joined, Jed asked me, hey, what would you really like to do here? What else would you like to do? And I said, Jed, I really want to build a community. He said, well, what's that? And I sort of described it like this: as within IT or within ISVs or any type of companies, they're always so nice to the CIOs and the IT directors and the business leaders, right? And marketing sort of reigns from the top down, but I've always found that the real important people are the guys doing the work, the administrators, you know, the engineers, the influencers, you know, the community as we know it. These are the guys that are most important to me. So I told him, I was like, I'd love to build a group. I'd love to build a thing called a community to where we can support them. Right. If they have questions, we can answer them. If they want to meet someone, we can make that introduction. Right. If they need, licenses or something, we can introduce them to the right folks or what have you. Right. We can share with them. And it's 3 years later, we have 3,000 people. But the number that I really, really love is we have 77,000 messages posted, and talk about collaboration.
And,
right?
And these are IGEL focused.
It is an IGEL community, definitely IGEL focused. We use Slack, and then Slack is broken down into channels or groups, right?
Yeah, I've been invited a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
I joined, and I was overwhelmed by the tremendous many channels there were in Slack.
Yeah, we're trying to break them down via technology. Mm-hmm. So we have our main products, and then maybe some offshoots, and then or something related. But today it's IGEL. 2020, one of my goals is actually to bring in, just like this conference, you see, you know, all these different partners we have, and we have this great slide that shows all the partners in our IGEL ecosystem, right? All the technologies that are embedded into the IGEL OS. And one of the things we're going to be doing is working with them to bring them into the community also, but in a very clean way to where we don't end up spamming the heck out of our members, right? Because that's the most important is I love that number 77,000, but I don't want, 177,000 because the next 100,000 spam. So we're going to be bringing that in. So the IGEL community itself will become sort of an EUC community also.
But How important is the community in general, and what value does it bring to iGel? You have an answer to the?
I think it's invaluable. I was just in Disrupt a couple weeks ago, well, last week, and I ran into a bunch
of people, right?
Yes, yeah. Nashville. And I ran into a few community members I did not know, and I ran into one person that said, you know, the community's been so invaluable for us. Every question we had, it was answered within the community. I have a great quote that someone actually posted within the community, and I was like, do you mind if I take this? I want to share this because it was what I wanted. And what I knew we could build, and anyone that's been in the, you know, Citrix, VMware, Microsoft communities forever, they know this. He said, every question I had was answered directly and or by saying, do this or that. He goes, and then from time to time, he would just search the forums and learn things he needed to know that he did not even need to know. And it was the ultimate place for the administrators to, you know, the engineers, to, you know, be experts at iGel. Yeah, so, it's phenomenal.
But iGel and community, that's a happy marriage, right? But it takes two to tango. And you explained, your first encounters with Jet. But maybe Simon, you can explain what's so, because we all know the awesomeness about with community. But what's so awesome with iGel?
Well, I think I think there's also two parts, right? And I don't mean to call these out, but you've almost got the iGel community as it is, and then we have the larger EUC community.
Correct.
And arguably, the larger EUC community, as you just said, is probably part of the iGel community on Slack as well anyway.
So.
But I think both, if you did want to split those two things up, they are both incredibly important to us. The iGel community that's based on Slack, I've seen how not only does it help customers post-purchase, but it's also helping consultants and customers alike make informed decisions before they purchase. It's almost becomes part of the enabling process, right? As someone onboards iGel and says, hey, we really want to take your solution and deploy it, part of that onboarding process to say, hey, welcome to iGel and thanks for buying our software, we say, well, you really need to, you know, get your account so you can log on to support, but also sign up and join the community, because you're going to find that onboarding process incredibly useful and important. But then outside of that iGel community on Slack, you've then got the larger EUC community that's been going for 15, 20 years plus, and has got all of you good folks in it. And that community is incredibly important to iGel, and for a number of reasons. You know, I've worked at vendors before, and I've done joint events, and we've said all these technologies go hand in hand, and you can sort of like try and glue them together, and they complement each other. But with iGel, it is an operating system. And when you're creating an operating system and you've got the ability to embed other people's technology into your operating system, that's when the magic really starts to happen. You know, the fact that we've got,
but also get the support from the vendors.
Exactly. And things are moving pretty quickly at the moment, right? I mean, it wasn't that long ago that WVD was just three letters, and now it's a technology and a service that we can all go out and deploy. But you know, you look at what ControlUp is doing, you look at what LoginVSI and Lakeside are doing in that space. They've embedded their technology into our operating system as well. And all of that stuff happens very, very quickly. And without the community, I think there'd be a lot of unanswered questions out there, right? I mean, you start to share information and ideas, and some of this stuff just happens. I mean, you know, I was in Nashville last week, and all of a sudden I can see people controlling iGel operating systems and endpoints through somebody else's console, and I'm like, well, where did this come from? It's like, oh, well, you know, two of us in the community got together, and you know, we've made it happen. It's amazing.
Yeah, even within iGel, we have some community members that they were here last year at Disrupt. They met each other here. They didn't know each other prior, and they went home and created iGelExperts.com. It's a website where they write expert tips and trick types of articles, and it's, I mean, that's brilliant too. right?
So it's actually an extension for your company.
You bet. It's not just iGel. We're at the center of this growing thing that's really changing how the endpoint is looked at. And I always said, remoting Citrix, Microsoft, VMware, I don't care, was a better way to compute. The problem was we still had the 1980s operating system, right? But we never changed that piece. And I think what iGel is bringing to the table now, and what the reason we're so successful is we're able to tell that story, you know, and they're when they download and they get their hands on a, you know, piece of hardware with iGel operating system on it, and they play with our management tools, and they wow, this is the secret sauce to deliver the promise of this centralized, you know, centralized computing, right?
And is the community also influencing the strategy of like for example for PMs or prioritizing roadmap features or?
Well, I think Doug could probably talk to Amsterdam just recently, right?
And yeah. Yeah, so the community was definitely to start with an online community, right? I've always liked to hit it, you know, to help 1,000 versus 20. Right. But now we're very successful and we have members all over the world. So this year in 2020, my boss has given me a command to take the show on the road. So we started off in December. I've always said there ain't no, if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much. Right. And if you've ever been to a Dutch users group, it's one of the biggest and best in the world. So I started it off in Amsterdam and, our format was pretty simple. We started off about 6 o'clock at night. So we let the engineers work and things like that. And then at night we come in, we feed them really well. We have a bunch of beers and we geek out all night long. Right.
I missed this. 10:30. Why didn't I get an invite?
Oh, I'm sorry. You were definitely invited to the next one. And what was so neat about it was it wasn't just us standing up there preaching. You know, I don't want to do that, right? I can do that in a webinar. I can do that in podcasts. I can do that, you know, in many different ways, right? What was so neat is we brought our head of product management in. In his first slide, our members that were there, just asked questions and questions. And finally he made the joke, well, 25 minutes into it, that's the first slide. And so the conversation, it was a conversation and we were learning from them as much as they were learning from us. Right. And that's invaluable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it does feed back in, right? If you look at, there's a lot going on in the automation space at the moment, right? And people are constantly coming to us and saying, how can we automate more? And how can we automate what we do with iGel? And so, you know, we're working on things like our APIs, and we're looking at other ways in which we can integrate other, dare I say, management technologies as we move forward. But, you know, the community is giving us that feedback and also helping us at times bridge the gap between, you know, when the next release comes out and where they want to be today.
Yeah.
The best example, in fact, I can give of community feeding into iGel as well, and I'm sure he won't mind me calling it out because his picture was splattered on a big LED screen this morning. But I mean, Jim Moyle came to this session. You know, we don't try and hide it. I called up Jim Moyle at the end of 2018 and said, hey, look, there's this Disrupt event going on. It's EUC focus. We'd love you to come and present. Do you want to come over? So he comes over, he enjoys 2 days and he sees what we're doing. And, at that point, he was obviously working for Microsoft, and he said, look, you know, I think I can help accelerate what you guys might do with WVD. And, there's a member of the community that, you know, just by making a telephone call and doing an introduction changed where we ended up today. And the fact we've got Scott Manchester on stage, not just Scott Manchester, but the new product manager as well, right? On stage today at Disrupt 2020.
Yeah, and here, another example, you mentioned ControlUp, and last weekend, Nashville, ControlUp was showing off some really neat integration between, you know, iGel, and their technology. And the way they did a lot of that was actually through some PowerShell commandlets I don't quite understand at all that one of our community guys built. Yeah, so their technology is coming through.
Was first started with PowerShell, right? They built it all out, and now they have this majestic great dashboard, actually.
Oh, Control Up is amazing technology. But to think that they're able to do that because of the community, that was the missing piece, right? Yeah. That's so powerful for us.
The other thing I'd say about the community that I really like, and probably people don't talk about that much, is how it evolves over time. Like, there's a community that's been in place for 15, 20 years, right? Well-known names like yourself, Doug, right? And many others. But what you also then start to see is I don't want to say the youngsters, but it's like the new breed of people. You just find these rock stars, right? That they're working for an organization somewhere or a partner or a reseller. And they're doing this amazing cool things. They're quite happy to put the extra hours in. They work late. They work over the weekends. They come up with some great PowerShell scripts or something. And without the community, you wouldn't know that they or what they've created exists. And so I love it. I love it when you sort of, you know, someone comes up to you and they're like, oh, I'm 22 years old. I've been working for a bank for the last 2 years and I've created these PowerShell scripts or, you know, I've documented these APIs for you and put a wrapper around something. And you're like, right, let's get you involved. And all of a sudden the community starts to grow and evolve over time. And I think that's a great way of allowing people to further their careers as well. I mean, those people end up coming into the community, meeting new companies. And
maybe absolutely. A rhetorical question or, well, an easy question, but do you have some advice to those hidden gems that are a little bit shy and don't want or don't dare to speak up to the...
Most IT technicians are pretty shy.
Yeah.
I think really, if you think you've got something interesting, the best thing you can do right now is to document it and get it into some form of online community or online forum. And, you know, I know full well if you were to post it in the IGL community or join, you know, even send you guys an email, right? I think I've got something really cool to talk about. You know, people would rather listen to someone like that than probably listen to me harp on for half an hour.
But. No, you're always fun to listen. You know, I have a different take on that that question. I totally agree with him. I'll take it from a different view. Is that everyone in life, you have these byproducts, right? And if you think about, anybody would know me, is I was a consultant. And when I was a consultant, I learned how to do projects or, you know, deployments as projects and how to deploy it using project management, right? So when I came to Citrix, I sat down and I wrote that down. It wasn't my job. It was my byproduct. My job was how to deploy or what have you, right? The byproduct. We all have these byproducts. You know, the folks within the IGL community that wrote the API pieces and things like that, that was a byproduct of what he did. You know, so if you want to be, you know, if you want to be that guy, so to speak, think about the different things that you're doing on a daily basis that you're an expert in, and then just share that, right? When I did that, I didn't do it so I can do podcasts 20 years later, right? I did it because I just wanted to share it. And I think every techie, you know, we are shy. I'm a very reclusive person, believe it or not. You wouldn't know that from the public, Doug, right? But I'm outgoing around other nerds, you know, other techies, other like-minded guys. When we get together, we don't want to shut up. We want to share what we're doing.
Talk right? about Legos.
Yeah, talk about what have you, you know. It's a lot of, but it's so much fun, right? Because this is what we love, you know. It's not, I've always said it's never been a job, right? It's not, you know, that's so cliche, isn't it? But I play with toys for a living. And nowadays they get to share toys for a living. You can't ask for anything better than that.
Yeah, boys will be boys. We never grow up. The toys will be more expensive, though. But
well, it's really great. It's when the company buys them for you, right?
It's actually fun because you have one of the sponsors on your venue, which actually started as a byproduct at Login Consultants, now called Login VSI.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great example. It's
Jeroen van der Kamp and Ruben Spruit, the Project VRC, right?
Yeah.
More like the Kickstarter of what now Login VSI is today.
Yeah, well, look at Storefront, right? Storefront came from the idea of web interface, which was written by basically If you remember Infuse, Infuse was not a portal. Infuse was a SDK for writing ASP scripts, right? For putting via ASP on a web page an icon that you can double click and launch a ICH session, right?
Yeah.
But our customers in the 90s did not know how to write it, HTML, you know, or ASP. That's not the skills we had back then.
It was
then.
A wrapper around your program neighborhood agent.
Yeah, so a PN agent wasn't around in those days. You know, this was way before any of that stuff. And so we had a couple guys, a guy named Rick Dillinger and some of his friends. They said, well, we'll just script it for you. We'll just create a template for you. Right. You know, 2 years later, you know, we get a call in the West saying, what the heck is this stuff from Citrix? You know,
we're getting support calls.
Remember Project Columbia?
No, this is before my time.
Yeah.
They bought actually the company, right?
Sequoia, that's a whole different, but web interface came out of the SE department in the West. It was something that a guy named Rick Dillinger built. Jay Tomlin, took to a whole new level. I actually had a little piece of code of my own. There was a connection drop-down speed to pick what, you know, if you're coming from a, you know, slow connection, fast connection. That was community built. And then Citrix woke up one day or, you know, what is this?
We need this.
Yes. And they productized it. And now we have this portal. That was a byproduct, right? That was from the community.
So thank you, Rick and Tom.
Yeah.
Still, I think Rick has been away and. Rejoined.
Yeah. Rick's the ultimate.
Boomerang Club.
He's the OG, you know, he's the original.
I'm the OG.
Yeah, Rick is, Rick's my hero for sure. There's so many heroes, you know.
Will the future change the way people look at community initiatives? Do you think?
I hope not.
Maybe in a positive.
Or what's missing in the community? Yeah. I mean, we have all different kinds of communication.
And we have all these stickers, like V-Expert, CTA. You have, I believe, Agile Tech Insider.
There is this NVIDIA VGPU Community Advisor Program, I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know why.
I suppose the challenge there is on one hand, you want to try and create these programs and communities that have got experts in them within a particular product or a particular field. On the other hand, you want to try and make them as wide and as broad as possible because you want to be able to share knowledge.
Why limit yourself?
Yeah. And that's difficult, isn't it? So, I mean, I think as things evolve, I think there's always going to be a need for a broader community. But I think there'll always be a need to try and have something that's a little bit more exclusive, perhaps.
I think exclusives.
I think it has to stay in exclusive state. It's not something everybody can participate in just by mentioning Agile one time.
Well, I think that this is something I get on a soapbox on. So I try not to do that. But I think there's a difference between a goal and a reward. Right. Or a result. And I think that, those groups like a CTP or a EUC champion or, you know, those are results, right? You did a great job. You shared a bunch of information. You made other people better and you did it because you wanted to make other people better, not because you wanted to be a CTP.
So it's recognition more.
It's recognition award. Right. And it's sort of the cream rising to the top of the crop. Right. So I think that some people or some companies maybe, it gets skewed a little bit. Right. And definitely, you know, people might maybe game it, so to speak. Like, oh, if I do this and this, I can get this. No, the goal should be, I want to be the best engineer. I want to help the most people. The result is you're recognized by these groups, right? So that's a very unique thing. But then, like Simon said, we definitely want the overall. So when I came to Agile, I did not want to create a VIP program first. I wanted to create an Agile community first because it helps everyone. And then we will see who the best are. We'll see the guys that are helping each other, right? We'll see the selfishness or selflessness. Right? Not just a guy that says, oh, well, if I do this and I talk to this guy and I'm nice to this boy, you know, or, you know, this guy right here, and I'll get this award.
No, but that's the difference in resulting to anything and, making something a goal.
Yeah.
And I think
the goal should be sharing and helping each other.
Yeah, that should be the goal.
Help your fellow man, right? Yeah. That's what it's all about. At the end of the day, you know, like I said, Rick's my goal, Jim's or my hero. Rick, Jim's my hero because those are the guys that taught me when I didn't know, right? So what I wanted to do is carry that on to the next person, right? So it was never about sitting here 20 years later. It was always just about saying thank you to those people, right? If I can be so bold to say that.
Okay.
If I can, sometimes I think we could do with more product marketing and product management involvement in some of what's going on in the community.
Absolutely.
But would you leverage your exclusive people who share a lot of knowledge to do product management and product marketing?
I'm not sure whether it's that or whether it's just making sure that, I mean, I was fortunate enough to run product management for a while, and you know, I took a product management team that sat in what I used to call the goldfish bowl, right? I mean, they sat next to development, and they wrote user stories, and they passed those stories over to development. And when I took over in a previous role, a previous company, you know, I think the number of customer visits that had been out on was like, you know, I could count them on my hand. And one of the big changes that I made was you need to get out there. Right. You need to first of all go and see your customers and understand what your customers are asking for and what challenges they're having and what you can implement. And secondly, I want you at these types of events. And again, I don't want this to be an advertisement for how great we are here at iGel. But if you go downstairs now, there is a booth that is being manned by product managers and product marketing people.
And developers too. Right? Some of our key guys, they got punching the keys with the code.
Yeah, and I think it's very, very important that vendors are not just listening to the one biggest customer that's going to close them a $2 million deal, but more customers and, more importantly, the people in the community and the consultants that are out there that are deploying those technologies. I mean, you can have a phenomenal impact on how your product is deployed by just listening to someone that deploys it week in, week out. And absolutely, you can make a very, very small change. Like, can you remove the fact that it needs to be licensed for the first 90 days? And it would make all of my POCs go significantly easier. Fine, let's do it. Oh, and all of a sudden, I can now do a POC and I don't need to go through the licensing process every single time. You know, small technical change, massive impact.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, it came to mind, actually, you are running also a community initiative or the community advisory group for NVIDIA. So how is your perspective on this, Jens?
Well, we talked about from a vendor perspective reaching out to a community, but also, and we talked about this as well, right, getting very valuable feedback into the PM team. And maybe sometimes, well, there are a lot of,
Do you think sometimes it's strategic for a company to do?
It should be more strategic, but, well, it's challenging. You get input, a lot of information from different sources, right? But as you said, it's in the end, it's the end customer, the actual user. For them, IT is just another tool set in their toolbox. And you need to know and understand how they are using these tools. And then you can help them to optimize their processes. And I think especially for product managers, it's important to reach out to these customers. And when it's via advisory or some other board, to me personally, that doesn't matter as long as you get straight to the source. Yeah. I think that's the important. And if you can structurize this via in this case, the NVIDIA vGPU Community Advisor Group, awesome. I'm all in.
Yeah, smart people listen.
Sorry, come again?
Smart people listen, right? If you're listening to your customer.
That was actually the joke.
Oh. Can you cut it out?
I'm not so smart.
No. I was talking about myself.
Yeah. I was the one talking.
So. Yeah, no worries.
But if you have to give our listeners one key takeaway from everything we just talked about, what would it be?
Mine's very simple, but then I'm in marketing.
Yeah, but that's just fine.
That would be, as of tomorrow afternoon, you'll be able to log on to disrupteuc.com.
But we aren't that fast with editing. This isn't
so. Okay. So you can do today.
So you can do it today. Then.
You can do it already.
So yeah, no. You know, get involved. Now I'll leave that one for Doug. But my request would be check out disrupteuc.com and see whether you want to come and be part of a community run EUC event next year.
You actually had me with the skateboards last year. I definitely wanted to come.
I wanted a skateboard.
I wanted the skateboard
I
as well.
Too.
I actually apped Jits, bring me a skateboard. But
So we don't have skateboards this year.
No, I know, I know. And they were actually rewards.
I will make you a promise right now that we will bring back skateboards next year.
Yeah, I'm going to be so here cool. next year. I know for sure. I want a skateboard.
Yeah, Jed did tell me. I told him I really love the skateboard. You want one? I was like, yeah, yes, I want one. I never got one. So maybe I'll have to. Jed, I want a skateboard. Jed, come on. If you're listening, Jed, I want a skateboard.
He's just looking after you and taking care and preventing
he's making
some,
sure you don't get a skateboard.
Well, they don't come with wheels. Did last year did they have wheels on them?
Oh, no, they came with wheels.
Oh, did they last year? It had wheels? Yeah. Okay, just. I saw some with just the board, which...
Oh, that was, last week.
That was for the legal department.
There was a...
You don't want to put
Darren
me on
has allowed to use it.
There was a manufacturing error in marketing last week. That's, did exist. They just hadn't been put on.
So we gave one actually to the community member of the year for the USA, and he's 3D printing wheels. So he sent me the pictures of it already.
Wow.
So really cool. All branded IGEL.
Really nice.
Cool.
So now I forget the question. What was it again?
The question was if there is a key takeaway you want to give to our listener.
Well, first of all, as far as the selfish side of it, please join the IGEL community. It's like, as Simon and I've said, it's not just about IGEL. Right. It's just not just IGEL community. And we want to hear from you. We want to learn from you. Right. So join.igelcommunity.com will get you there. IGEL.com and then look for the community up in the menu. We'll get you there. But please join. The other thing I would say is just love what you do and share it. Because we all love what we do. If you're an engineer, I bet you say, I love what I do. Just share that with someone else. Great things will happen,
Yeah, for sure. Does for me.
Fully agree. Sharing is caring. Thanks for those takeaways. And thanks for your time and thanks for having us here at IGEL Disrupt.
No, thank you for coming. Thank you for being part of it. And thank you for inviting us on the podcast.
Yeah, true privilege. Thank you very much.
So thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed this snack as we try to serve you the right amount of EUC for your appetite. If you have anything you want to add here or just want to stay in touch, reach out to us on our social channels or by email on podcast@euzdigest.com. Cheers, love, and rockets.
This podcast is brought to you by Liquidware. Liquidware is the leader in adaptive workspace management solutions for Windows desktops. Their products cover all facets of management to ensure the ultimate user experience across all workspaces, physical, virtual, DAS, or cloud.